How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
2-2. And a swing and a bouncer, right side. Chavis has it. He throws to third, and he throws it away. It trickles past Hayes into foul territory. Didi's up and headed home. He will score, and Vierling is into second as the throwing error for the Pirates will gift the Phillies the lead here in the 10th inning. It's 2-1.
Send that clip to the Hall of Fame. Thing of beauty. Good morning, everybody. With my pal Jody MacDonald, I am Glenn Mack now on a warm, toasty Sunday morning where we celebrate another Phillies win. Jody Mack, a sloppy one, tied after nine for the second straight day. And then the Pirates starts throwing the balls around like a bunch of little leaguers, and the Phillies win 2-1 in 10. You take that, right, Jody? You're happy with that.
Can I start the show with a request?
Sure.
Can we get Kyle Quinn to play that again?
The cut?
Yes.
You want to hear it again?
There's a specific word in there,
okay,
that I want to hear. I didn't know if Scott Fransky used or not, and even listening to it, I'm still not sure.
So if
Kyle could play that again.
2-2. And a swing and a bouncer, right side. Chavis has it. He throws to third, and he throws it away. It trickles past Hayes into foul territory. Didi's up and headed home. He will score, and Vierling is into second as the throwing error for the Pirates will gift the Phillies the lead here in the 10th inning. It's 2-1.
So I'll ask you, Glenn, did he say give the Phillies the lead?
No.
Or gift the Phillies the lead?
Gift. He used the word gift as a verb.
And the word is 100% accurate because that's exactly what the Phillies got there, a massive gift. And as you asked me, did they kind of back into this one last night? Yeah, sure they did. Sometimes the breaks go your way. Sometimes they go against you. I'm sure you saw the play earlier in the week when Bryson Stott pulled the ball down the first baseline.
Yeah.
And it had to hit something. It took a right-hand turn past the first baseman.
I don't know how physics work on that particular hit ball, but yes.
Holy mackerel. Yeah. I've never seen a ball take a bounce like that before. So sometimes the bounces go your way, and sometimes they go against you. Last night, the Pirates were more than a bad bounce off a rock or a bottle top or whatever the hell it is earlier in the week. They got a little bit of a gift. Guess what? You take it. You don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Thank you very much. Take the W. Move into sole possession of the last playoff spot. Thank you very much.
You got it. And then they gave him another gift because in the bottom of the 10th, the Pirates have their ghost runner on second base, O'Neill Cruz. Good rookie, but not this time, and he gets picked off. So, as you suggest, a sloppy win is a win. The Phils are a game ahead of the Cardinals now, and they're a game and a half behind the Padres for that second wild card spot. They won four games in a row. Jody, baseball fever, catch it.
I'll take it.
Okay.
We know the series that they just had against the Cubs. Everyone thought, all right, coming home, the Cubs stink. Now we'll really get some momentum. And they lose three straight games. And all of the games were close. All the games could have gone either way. Guess what? They all went against the Phillies. These three games in Pittsburgh, an 8-0 game that becomes 8-7, and two extra inning games. They couldn't be any closer when you look at it after all 27 or 27-plus outs have been registered. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you got there. Give me the end result. Was it a W or an L? They didn't get any W's against the Cubs. They've now turned around and done exactly what they needed to do. A well below 500 team. You got to just find ways to win the games, and the Phillies have done that in the first three games in this series and go for a sweep today.
Okay, so some things that actually did impress. It was Ranger Suarez night, and I thought after three innings that lefty might toss a no-hitter. 38 pitches in the first three innings, 30 of them strikes. No hits, no walks. It didn't happen. Bottom of the fourth, a hit and a walk. But he kept him from scoring. I think he had a bat or two. So he goes six, Jody. Allows three runs, one walk, no runs. And they take him out after a whopping 84 pitches. Now, they won the game. This is baseball. I know he came off the IL 2 weeks ago. But, boy, did they really need to take him out after 84 pitches? He's just been great. I know what you're going to say, so go ahead and say what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
In 2022, your answer is yes.
Yes.
In 2002, maybe not. In 1982, definitely not. But the game is what it is today, Glenn.
I know. Still drives me crazy. The guy's doing so well. I'm enjoying watching him pitch. And it's like, nah, we're going to take him out. We're going to go to the bullpen. But yes, this is what the game is. And I know that. All right. Now, stop me if you've heard this one before, Jody Mack, but Nick Castellanos goes 0-for-4, strikes out in the first with the bases loaded, grounds out in the third with two runners on, strikes out again in the eighth with a runner on first. That's six base runners he left. He is now the five-hole hitter. Do you, A, Jody, leave him alone, B, move him down in the lineup, or C, say, let's sit a spell?
He was the three. Now he's the five. You're suggesting make him the seven. You can only go down.
Make him the bench.
You can only go down so far in the lineup, and then you're right. The other alternative is Nick. Yeah, we got to do something else here for at least a period of time. I love the fact that we get a chance to talk to as many as people as we do on the weekends. I do it on Monday and Tuesday nights here on WIP, and people get annoyed real fast, and I get that. They got annoyed real fast at Alex Bohm, and were ready to. You remember in spring training when Bryson Stott was going to be the starting third baseman, Alex Bohm was going to start the year at AAA?
Yeah,
I'd send him to the Iron Pigs. Alex Bohm has been their best offensive player for the entire month of July, as a matter of fact. And another guy who falls into that category is Corey Kniebel. Oh, I got it. What a bum this guy is. How did we make him our highest paid reliever? Get him the hell out of here. They wanted him designated for assignment. Oh, by the way, he pitched two shutout innings and has really turned it around these last 5 or 6 weeks, and his ERA is now below three. People are ready to pull the plug early. I can't say I blame him about Castellanos, but four more years at $80 million, G-Mac.
Okay. Joe, I'm not talking about, you know, give him the DFA and stick him on an Amtrak. I'm talking about you're really in a bad slump, okay? They've tried to let him fight his way out of the slump. It would not be the first time in sports where they say, and I don't always believe it, but it's what they say, we're going to try to take the pressure off him for a few days and let him watch the game. That's all I'm saying.
I understand, and it's probably something that Rob Thompson is considering, but here's the other thing you must also consider. Glenn Mack now? More Odubel? You're in?
No. Vierling. Give me Vierling.
Okay, if Vierling moves to right to take over for Castellanos, guess who's going into center field, G-Mac?
Wait, where's Moniak these days? You know what? You're right. I didn't think, God.
That's part
Jody,
of the problem.
Yeah, well, here's the answer, Jody. I've got the answer. The answer is, as you and I sit here today, we are 56 hours away from the trade deadline. We've said, and I want to talk about that. They made a trade yesterday. We'll get to in a second. Actually, let's talk about that trade first, and then we'll get into what else they could do.
Okay.
After the game, they send down Johan Camargo to Lehigh Valley and announced that they have acquired Soto. Sosa. I'm sorry. You know what? I heard the trade, and I saw the SO, and I was like, oh my God, Soto, for a fraction of a second. What, Soto? There's a famous story that Charles Barkley tells that I don't know if it's true or if he's just pulling our legs, but when he was on the Sixers and they traded for Charles Shackelford.
Oh, Shaq, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And the GM, Barkley's home sleeping, and the GM wakes him up. I forget who the GM was at the time, but he wakes him up. It wasn't Lynam. And he says, Charles, we got Shaq. Or at least Charles hears, we got Shaq. And Charles is jumping up and down and dancing like, oh, my God, we're gonna win it. And the GM says, like, you understand I'm talking about Charles Shackelford, right? Not Shaquille O'Neal. So, for a brief moment yesterday, I thought Soto, but no, Jody, it is Edmundo Sosa. He of a 189 batting average and 515 OPS, and apparently a tremendous glove. I don't know him. I know as a rookie, his stats were better. Last year as a rookie, he had 271. That's fine. The OPS of 731. So maybe he's hoping he's going to do it. Other than that, explain to me why you add a guy who's hitting 189.
the only question I have for Charles, other than live-related, that he's sticking with the NBA and not going to live golf, is
yes, thank goodness.
Who he actually had more disdain for, Armin Gilliam or Charles Shackelford. He never really liked either one of those two guys that he shared a front line with here in Philadelphia.
I didn't like him at all. Yeah.
No, not a little bit. I don't get it. It doesn't real. You talk about moving the needle is a phrase that we probably use too much these days. Edmundo Sosa does not move the needle an inch.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't really add up unless there's another deal yet to come that I don't see how Edmundo Sosa is going to affect that deal for the Phillies to get better in an area of need. They've got enough marginal middle infielders, one of which is Stott, who you're hoping is going to develop into something more than that. You got Segura coming back within days, who you're going to have to find a way to get into the lineup. Other than Jojo Romero hasn't quite lived up to what they may have thought of as an organization, they just think he's never going to be anywhere. Here's my, you'll remember this, Matt, because you know you and I have done some shows together over the years.
One or two.
I'll give you my best.
Thousand.
Yes, I'll give you my best link from the Mod Squad imitation. The Armando Sosa trade, eh?
Oh, I remember Link used to say solid,
solid.
But not in this case. It is. It's a meh. It's a heh. It's a what? So you got, and you mentioned him. When Segura comes back, you got to clear a roster spot. So you got Segura, Stott, Didi, Bohm at third. You still have Yairo Munoz on the roster, and now Sosa. Teams don't carry that many infielders. Something's got to go. Is it, Jody, precursor to a move?
I hope so, but I surely don't know so. Again, the needle. If you saw the needle move, it has since stopped. It moved momentarily and then came back to rest rather quickly.
Yeah, I've had that problem in my old age. Oh, sorry.
I got no idea what Dombrowski's up to, but this to me doesn't even factor in. I'm glad, I will say this, that they kept Munoz. And again, guys who don't move the needle, Munoz or Camargo. When Munoz plays, he just seems to bring in energy. Mm-hmm. That the overall energy of the team changes. I would not say that about Camargo, and neither one of them are that overall good that you say, wow, they're going to make a difference. So I'm glad at least momentarily Munoz is here. But if you ask me what I think they're going to do when Segura gets activated, it's going to be send out Yairo Munoz again. So even for this short period of time, I'm not sure what Dombrowski's up to.
Yeah, okay. So the trade deadline is 2 days away. I screwed up my math yesterday. It's Tuesday night, 6 p.m.
I think it's Tuesday. 4.
It was 4? Okay,
yeah.
Yesterday I was told 6. Vince, do me a favor. I've been wrong on this already. See if I'm wrong again. Anyway.
Tuesday at 4, I'm pretty sure.
Tuesday at 4, okay. Pretty quiet. The big trade was Luis Castillo from the Reds to the Mariners for a bucket of prospects. And that was kind of 2 nights ago. I guess they wrapped it up yesterday. It was 2 nights ago. It kind of came out. Other than that, not much going on. I will just tell you, Jody, what the Phillies did. Remember that great run the Phillies had, of course, back more than a decade ago. On those years, 2009, and I think it was on this day. It might have been yesterday. But I always recall Ruben would make the deals 2 days before the deadline.
Right, the 29th. He mentioned it on the broadcast the other
Tuesday
day.
Tuesday at 6. Okay.
Is it 6? Okay,
yeah.
Then I'm wrong. I apologize.
That's all right. You were thinking the mountain time. Okay. It was always the 29th, which I guess was 2 days ago. But Ruben, in 2009, got Cliff Lee from Cleveland. Pretty good.
Yep.
2010, Roy Oswalt from Houston.
Yep.
2011, Hunter Pence from Houston. Not as dramatic, but it helped him. So we got a lot of rumors, Jody. I'm curious where they are now, which is in that third wild card spot, pushing up toward San Diego, game ahead of the Cardinals. I guess the Giants are still hanging around, right? Those would be the teams you're kind of dealing with here. How committed, Jody Mack, should Dave Dombrowski be to this year's team? Which I guess the question is, who would you not trade among those top prospects for somebody who can help you now? I'm not talking a rental player because you're clearly right. Not going to trade a good prospect for a rental player, but for a guy who you would have control for this year, next year, maybe the year after.
And Dave Dombrowski did come out and directly say that they're not going to be a major player for the top rental players. They're just not going to do that. Last year you saw he did. He got Gibson, a guy who has been part of the rotation this year, so is it going to be a two-year plan? And he's trying to do exactly the same again this year. I'm not sure if I mentioned him here with you last week. I know I did on my show on Monday or Tuesday night. I got two names I'm going to give you, Mac. One is a rental, but he's not going to cost a whole hell of a lot. Uh-huh. And the other is a guy who's got 2 years to run on his contract after this one. But both come with major qualifications. The first one is Madison Bumgarner of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I heard you say that, and I love that idea. You go ahead, but I will tell you, it has my endorsement before you even get into the details.
And I'm glad to hear that, and I do mean what I say, but there is a major qualifier. Madison Bumgarner is going to have to want to come here. He was a free agent the same year Wheeler was available. I was perfectly fine if the Phillies signed either of those two guys. They got Wheeler. Bumgarner went to Arizona because he's a horse guy, and he's got his own ranch out there in Arizona. He rides every day. He considers himself a bit of a cowboy, and that's why he signed there.
Where's he from? Is he from out there?
No, you know what he's from? You know he's from, Mac? North Carolina.
Oh.
Which Philadelphia is a hell of a lot closer to North Carolina than San Francisco or Arizona are, where he spent his entire career. I don't know if he has any desire to come back to the East Coast or not. I would want at least a phone conversation, if not a face-to-face sit-down, if I'm Dombrowski. I need to know he's buying in, that he wants to get back to the postseason. Glennie's one of the best postseason pitchers in the history of baseball.
Not
the last 10 years, 20 years, one of the best postseason pitchers.
And in more than one postseason. It wasn't just like a fluke. Jody, you could take him to see the horses.
I'll take him to, if he wants to go up to parks anytime, Delaware Park, I'll drive him all over the place. Yeah, wherever he wants to go. He and I can go. That's not a problem, but I think he actually kind of liked riding them himself rather than betting him
on
him.
He likes riding them.
Yeah, he does, I guess.
I don't know if you can help him there.
But he wouldn't cost you it all depends on what John Middleton wants to do, because $21 million this year, so he's got whatever's left on his contract, $21 next year, and then a $12 million deal on the last year's contract comes back down a little bit. He's not pitching to those numbers. He's not earning his salary. He's having an okay year, not a $20 million-plus pitcher year. So you should be able to get him if you just tell Arizona you'll take all the money. You should be able to get him for a song, but does he want to come here? If he doesn't, pass. Just move on to the next guy on your list, because I don't want him if he doesn't want to be here and be dedicated.
I heard you say it, and it has my endorsement. Who's your second?
If the Boston Red Sox are being real with themselves, they're not going to make the playoffs this year.
And I read last night that they are now in seller's mode.
Right. And again, comes with a qualifier. Michael Wacha has pitched pretty well for them. He was damn good with the Cardinals. He was solid with the Mets. He went to the Red Sox this year. He was pitching well before he got hurt. He is coming back off the IL. He's supposed to be able to pitch by the first week of August, which is now, 48 hours away. So I'd need to know what the medicals are and what the issue was, and can you count on him to make 8, 9, 10 starts during the last 2 months of the season? If he is, I'd give up a solid prospect. You know who I'd give up? That Edmund Sosa. If the Red Sox want him, I'll turn around and flip him. They got Trevor Story broke a bone in his wrist last night. They're starting second baseman. Yes.
Right.
So if they need a middle infielder, if they think Yairo is that much better, I'll give him Yairo. Let him pick. Who do you want, Edmundo or Yairo? Feel free to select your middle infielder, and we'll take Michael Wacha.
So they're just dumping Wacha. There was one other name I was hoping you were going to mention, because you, having grown up a Mets fan, would certainly know what this guy's up to. He is no longer on the Mets, but he appears healthy, and I hear he's on the market. Thor.
Yeah, Syndergaard is back, and he's pitched solid baseball this year, overpaid because he got paid on the come.
When he was great.
Right. And the Angels, well, he's been great, but he's also been hurt.
Yeah.
Not great when he doesn't pitch.
No, he's pitched. Listen, before this year, between 2020 was the COVID year. But, yeah, he pitched two innings in 2021, nothing in 2020, 80 innings this year. And he's doing, you know, decently, doing well.
Right. Again, it all depends on the price, and I don't think the Angels can ask for a lot because he is the pure rental. See, here's the problem. Dombrowski kind of spoke out against rentals, and I know Waka's a rental and Syndergaard's a rental because he signed just a one-year deal. Would have interest in him. He doesn't throw as hard as he did when he was a Mets. He was a 9,900 guy. Now he's a 93-94 guy. But he's solid, and I would certainly have interest if the price were right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, those are some names, and we'll see what happens. Who would you not trade? Anybody? Is it like Painter, Abel? Are they off the table for the Jody Mack team? They are.
Those are the two. Okay. That's it. And that's where the line is drawn.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys. Ohapi is having a really nice year, but they've still got years locked into Realmuto, and Marchand looks like he can be a backup. Shoot, Stubbs might be the backup here for the next couple of years with the way he's playing. So any of the other top prospects, I would be willing to move. If there was an outfielder that was a stone-cold given to be a Philly starting outfielder at some point, I would say, no, you shouldn't trade him either. I don't think they have that guy. Mm-hmm. So it's the two starting pitchers because, but you're going to blink, and if Phillies are going to need them both in their rotation, if not next year, the year after. So I wouldn't give up on either of those two guys.
I agree. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. Hey, prize today for the best caller of the day, $50 gift card to Shive Vintage Sports, where there is a story in every stitch. Check out their throwback apparel at their Center City location, or visit them at ShiveSports.com. Coming up in the next segment, we will get into these. Want to grab some calls early today. We're going right up to Phillies. Pirates, the closer of the series, we will be leading off at 12:30. By the way, two great interviews today. Don't go anywhere, because Jody Mack and I have Brian Baldinger at 11, and Jody will kind of run through the NFC contenders, see what Baldy thinks about that. And then at noon, the coach, Dick Vermeil. Dick gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame next Saturday. Going out to Canton this week. I know Ray's going to go with him. His friends are going to go with him. He's going to be there next Saturday. Jody, emotion's going to flow, right? We know that?
I think that's a foregone conclusion, don't you?
Yeah, I think he'll tell us that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, and it's great. So we have the coach coming up at noon, but we want to hear from you. 215-592-9494. Coming up, we will get into the Eagles. And Jody, I hope I don't start a civil war on this station with what I'm going to say when we come back, which is I don't particularly worry about the stats of Jalen Hurts at practice. I'll see how you feel. Don't answer yet. I'll see how you feel.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.